The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Doing nothing but running this mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stack just like a mountain. You heard about it. She feeling a little like Kevin McAllister in Home Alone right now. Mom? Dad? Buzz? Anybody? All alone in the studio, I can't even figure out how to turn on the televisions. Chew, I didn't realize I needed Gabe Neitzel so badly. I got blank TVs all around me.
Ho, I'm the one that turns on the TVs.
Did you just call me a ho?
A what?
Never mind.
Garden tool.
I thought you... Oh, sorry.
That's all right. No big deal. You turn on the TVs? All right, well, I need you to come back. I need you to come back to the studio and turn on all the televisions. I'm staring at blank screens. I got a bunch of remotes here. I got a bunch of Apple TV remotes here. They all have some sort of code on them of what TV they go to. I can't figure it out. It's like hieroglyphics over here. You guys could come back.
Technology sucks.
If you guys could come back, that'd be super great. Where are you? Where even are you right now?
I am in my studio in steamy Florida.
What?
Where we need rain.
Oh, well, we've had a bit of that up here, just a bit. Why are you in Florida in June? I thought there was like a moratorium on like you were back in Wisconsin from like Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Well, everything breaks down here. Everything breaks. And it's usually things just break in threes, right?
Well, there's the law of
but
threes.
But I come down. Well, we lost an air conditioning unit, I think, when I was down here. I told you guys. We lost another air conditioning unit that was only 2 years old, of course. You know, like 12 days past warranty. And we lost our refrigerator, which is being delivered today. So yes. I come down here, and my son that lives down here, the two of them are great. They come by. But they just miss things. I think it's that generation. Like, I turned sprinklers went on today because the lawn is a little fried. And three of the heads are busted. I got a lot of issues.
So do you believe,
you know what?
Do you believe
we made a mistake, Jen?
Wait, what? Hold on.
Yes, I do.
Okay. You believe in the law of threes very quickly. Joshy, do you believe in the law of threes? Are you one of these guys that like, if two things happen,
no.
Whether it's the air conditioning or the refrigerator, you don't think there's a third just waiting out there in the world?
Sure. Don't think everything's independent.
All right. Hold on. What about when it comes to death?
No. No, don't believe it.
Why?
I think the human brain has a necessity or a survival instinct that likes to pair things together or find patterns when even the pattern is not there.
So you'll force it. Put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy poll to start this morning. Do you believe in the law of threes? Which is just, again, that like one thing happens, then another happens. And when that second thing happens, you kind of guard yourself against the third, and to Joshy's point, it could just be life unrolling as it has a tendency to do, but you're like, well, boom, there's the third thing. All right, so you said you got a lot of problems. It sounds like it's not just the sprinkler heads and the air conditioning
No.
and the refrigerator. What else you got?
Me and my wife think we made a big mistake. Not with one another.
Thank you for clarifying.
But I think we
important
made...
clarification.
We made a big mistake in liking dogs a little bit. And I don't know if we can walk it back.
Wait, liking dogs a little bit?
Remember I went through that stage during the wintertime where my son had the dog and we took it in. And Angie's like, oh, this is great. You want one? Maybe we'll get you one. No, we let it go too far. Here's the problem. People that own dogs... And Jen, you said it perfectly earlier in the production meeting. People that own dogs think everybody loves dogs. Would
okay.
you agree?
Okay. So why don't you give a little backstory before we do that reveal to what has happened recently that you are referring to that has you thinking you made the mistake?
You cannot put dog food in the pantry amongst human food.
Okay, there it is.
I think people that have dogs smell dogs 24/7, where people that don't have dogs can immediately smell dogs. and do not like the smell of dogs.
Wait.
Now, here's the backstory. Okay, my wife was attacked by a Rottweiler 20 years ago, to the point where she had to go through the rabies shots, which is not pleasant. You guys have heard of that before.
Yeah. Well, but also just a traumatizing experience. You know, regardless of whether or not there were shots involved, getting attacked by anything is something that you're going to carry with you.
But people don't care. People that have dogs, really, they hear the story. They're like, oh, well, our dog's different. Like, no. If you don't like dogs and you don't like dogs, you have your dog on a leash and it comes over by it. My wife starts a panic attack. It just keep your dogs away from us. Because people that have dogs are just oblivious. Like, short-haired dogs, they still shed. Right or wrong?
So it's the food in the pantry. It's the shedding, even though they think that the dog isn't shedding. I also think you need to give a little more context about why there is a dog in your house. And we did talk about it a few months ago on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but just in case they missed it, why do you and your wife, notorious, known people who do not like dogs, have a dog living in your house?
Because my son and his girlfriend have a dog who, to them, it's like, it's literally like a kid. Because my son's girlfriend is a nurse, and she works very strange hours. So it's like, you have to take care of the dog tonight. I have to work. Which is fine. And it's a fine dog. It's a fine dog. But if you don't like broccoli, you don't want broccoli anywhere. You don't want it mixed in with chicken. You don't want, you know, the broccoli in cheddar rice. You just don't want it.
The word fine.
But I don't think
guys,
we can't walk it. We can't walk it back, though. Can we walk it back or no? Can we set a new?
Such a lukewarm.
A new set of rules,
right, Joshy? If someone says something is fine, it's a fine dog. It's a fine dog. That is such a lukewarm endorsement of said dog.
When I say fine, all I mean is I just don't hate it.
And I'd like to end this conversation.
Yes, yeah. It's tolerable.
You've asked my opinion. I would prefer not to give it, but since you're forcing me to give it, I will give one that is so lukewarm, you're kind of sure where I stand on it, but also not certain where I stand on it. So Chewy says the dog is fine. So the dog is staying at your house. There is dog food in the pantry. There is dog hair on, I assume, everything. Speaking of the law of threes, you got one more there, or is it just the two?
Ange can't get past the stepping in it and having it go through her toes in the house.
The doo-doo.
Yeah.
Yeah, dog doo-doo.
Which is understandable, right?
Well, yes. The dog doo-doo is usually the deal-breaker for most people. It's the smell. It's it's, you know, everywhere. My dog poops on the patio. It is one of my greatest irritants in the entire world. Like, the grass is literally six more feet, and you got 4 feet, so it's even shorter for you than it would be for me, right? Like, so get to the grass, do your business in the grass, we'll pick it up in the grass instead of on the patio. So yes, I think you've gone too far. I think you've already allowed the dog in, you've allowed your son and his girlfriend to bring the dog. If you were to now say, hey, I've been thinking about it, this isn't working out for us, we don't want the dog, it would cause a major scene, a major problem. I don't think now, since you've already opened the door and it's been open for a while, I think you're stuck.
I would agree. I don't think there's any walking it back.
I don't think you can walk back the dog as a whole, but I think there needs to be a reestablishment of the rules and regulations in regards to the dog. If the dog comes over, its food stays somewhere else. If the dog's in the house before you leave or whatever you're doing, it needs to be vacuumed, swept, and cleaned up after. Like, I think...
Which he did. He did a very good job coming back to the house for the first time in like 6 weeks. But I could tell you this, and I know people love their dogs. I really don't want your dog on my grass.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
I don't want it pooping, even
past.
Though you pick it up. I don't want it on my grass, and I certainly don't want it peeing on my grass.
So could the dog...
Am I out of bounds?
No, it's your grass. I think Joshy makes a really good point. You need to establish clearer boundaries about what you're okay with the dog doing. But my question to you is this, Chew. If this were a cat, if your son's girlfriend had a cat, you don't have as much of an issue. Your wife doesn't have as much of an issue with the cat. She didn't have a traumatic experience from her youth with a cat. Could they keep the cat food in the pantry? Could the cat hair be on the things? Could the cat poop, which obviously famously poops in a box instead of in the yard, could the cat poop be in the house? Is this dog specific or is this pet generality?
This is pet, yeah, total pet. Cats are worse than dogs.
What?
They're psychotic.
But from having a cat in your home, you think having a cat in your home is worse than having a dog in your home? Yeah, there are times where I go to someone's house, I don't even know they have a cat.
Yeah, but the cats poop inside the house, which is disgusting.
Well, you can't let the cat.
As soon as I walk into a house, I can smell kitty litter.
Really?
I think that's just poor management.
I have a very sensitive nose.
You're a bloodhound? Is that what you're trying to...
Bloodhound Chimera. Mark Bloodhound Chimera.
I don't know. Maybe it's the older I get. But our neighbors here have a sign, two of them, one at the front of their lawn and one at, you know, each side of the front yard that says, please pick up your dog crap. You shouldn't have to put that sign down.
No. So let me ask you a question, because I've known you long enough, Chu, to know that one of two things are happening here. You're either just venting to us to vent, or you're hoping that the venting gets back to the people in question and you don't have to have the conversation that I think Joshy is encouraging you to have. Which is it?
Column A, column B.
Oh,
probably a little more A.
Oh, you're just venting.
Probably a little bit more of A.
Yeah. Okay.
But what would happen if I put a sign on either side of my front lawn that says, please keep your pets off of my grass? How would that be interpreted?
Would you put your son's name on the sign?
No, it's not for my son. Oh. It's everyone down here has a dog. I would say 80% of the people down here.
Is there a lot of pooping on people's lawns? LOL, I understand. I get the reference. I get the irony. But I just assume that most people walk their dogs. The dogs do their business on the side of the road. You pick it up with one of those scented little baggies, and then obviously you throw it in your neighbor's trash as you're walking past. We've talked about that before. No one has an issue with that, right? 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 Anyway, why are people pooping in people's yards? What is that about?
I mean,
that's just what they do.
If your dog decides to go on a walk, that's like it's going to find grass.
Don't you just control the leash?
Because,
Joshy, you walk Russell.
I sure do.
So if you get close to a yard, you're trying to keep him, on the sidewalk.
I try to, but it is a dog. Especially mine is a puppy. I try to keep it to the side between the curb and the road. That's where I prefer. But, I mean, sometimes it's a dog. You're just going to have to, you deal with it. You're trying to get it to go to the bathroom.
Down here, people will come all the way onto your lawn.
I won't step foot on someone else's lawn unless I'm cleaning up a mess.
Yeah, I see people in the middle of, I'm serious, in the middle of the front yard.
Yeah, see, that to me is crossing a boundary.
Yeah.
This is dog arrogance.
Yes, this total dog arrogance.
Now, Gabe is not here today to give us the list, but I'm guessing that dog arrogance has already been put on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy list.
He accused me of it because I said you can train dogs to do whatever you want.
And he said that's dog arrogance.
I guarantee on the talk and text line, there'll be people like, oh, come on, it's a dog. Just let it go. No, it's my property.
We have not received that. In fact, Clint is offering a little bit of assistance. Clint in the 312 says, Chewy, you should get one of those signs that says there's pesticides on your lawn that animals should not go on the grass. Then it is accomplishing what you want to accomplish, which is keeping the animals off the grass, but it doesn't have to be that you're just such a stick in the mud. You don't want to share your lawn with the neighborhood
dogs. Put it this way. There's a couple, probably two or three houses in the neighborhood we walk our dog. There's one that has a no dog sign. I wildly disregard that. Come out and do something about it. The dog's going to walk on your grass. The dog's going to walk on your grass. Get over it. The pesticides one, though, I'll avoid like the plague because it's going to affect the health of the dog.
Really?
The other way, it's like some old person's going to come out and confront me and then do what? You're going to call the police?
As signage goes, Chu, this might be the most innocuous. As signage goes.
The way to go.
If you want to talk about what the worst signage is regarding this issue, is the little cutout figurine of the dog with the doo-doo squirting out of its backside that says, pick up after your dog. That visual is actually worse for me than the sight of the actual poop. That visual of the dog pooping is worse than the poop.
But going back to the threes, I know it's a Monday, because, Jen, you had an issue over the weekend, right?
I did, yes.
Joshy, did you have an issue of like people that are just...
Yes, Joshy. I mean, yours is more cumulative, and we're going to get to it as the show goes on, but I believe there was a bug involved. Because what we're kind of talking about here is like human selfishness.
Yes.
We're kind of talking about people doing what is good for them and disregarding what might be good for the greater good or for the other people around them. So my issue, and we'll talk about it as the show goes on, had to do with gas station etiquette. And Joshy's issue had to do with
severe weather.
Severe weather and the Brewers game this weekend. Saw a lot of people crabbing about the severe weather alerts this weekend here in southeastern Wisconsin. Actually, across most of southern Wisconsin, northern Illinois included. So we're going to get to that as the show goes on. So, Chu, will you have a conversation with your son and his girlfriend about the three things that you mentioned to us with the dog? Can you have that conversation comfortably?
Yes, because they're coming. All right, here you go, Jed. They're coming back for the 4th. That's why I kind of gave Memorial Day a pass, even though that's my favorite holiday of the year, because all the kids, our family and Angie's family, are coming in for the 4th of July. And guess what the boyfriend and the girlfriend are doing?
Bringing the dog?
I was going to say, I don't want to. This feels unsafe.
Bringing the dog.
Okay, they're bringing the dog back to Wisconsin.
Yes.
Okay. So different place, but you still want to establish the same rules, the same boundaries, the same understanding.
Yes. That's a whole nother story with dogs on a plane.
Yeah.
Angie gives it the big Heisman. If a person's going to try to sit next to her with a dog, she says, not here. Go somewhere else. And has gotten into beefs with people over it.
I think much like we need and we plan to do a PSA about the zipper merge, I also think there's a lot of dog people, because dog ownership during the pandemic skyrocketed and everybody got a dog.
Companionship.
Yeah, a lot of them, irresponsible dog owners in a sense. When I take my dog out, I treat every single person as if they have no interest in being even close to a dog.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
If they indicate they want to pet the dog or meet the dog, I will then allow that to happen. But as it goes, I avoid everybody. I clean up after my dog relentlessly and make sure that is not an issue. So when, like what Chewy's talking about is sort of, it's just people being inconsiderate. It's not your world. It's not your dog's world. Now, I will avoid, if I can, places where it's like, hey, don't bring your dog here. Like that's just what it needs to be. But people, like you see dogs in grocery stores, in every type of place that say don't bring your dog unless it's a service dog. And let's be honest, we can all tell. They don't behave as if they were properly trained. People just need to be respectful of other people's spaces and places. It's that simple.
Yes. You're an anomaly, Joshy.
Yeah.
Most people are not like that.
I think it's probably because I haven't owned a dog until recently. And I like dogs and I would pet them, but not every time I want a dog coming up to me and jumping on me. That's just not what I do.
That's a good standard operating procedure. That's a good place to operate from, which is I'm going to assume that you don't like dogs, that you don't want to pet my dog, that you don't want any interaction, forced interaction with my dog. And if you indicate otherwise, well, come on in.
Yes.
Let's go. Absolutely. He'd love a little rub.
Yes, exactly.
He would love it. He would love a little rub. We got a lot of stuff to get to this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Did you see Jordan Love got engaged? Congratulations to QB1, who got engaged over the weekend to his longtime girlfriend. I believe they were in Italy, so we're going to get to that. Plus, comments about Jordan Love and where he ranks amongst quarterbacks in the NFL. Could he be the next $60 million man in the league? And you probably heard rumblings about the Milwaukee Bucks. What's going on with the Bucks? Apparently, they are looking to change. What sort of changes will we see from the Milwaukee Bucks this year? All that, plus Joshy's issue, plus my issue. We got a lot of issues here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thanks, Ernie. I'm going to Venmo you that money right after the show.
You can't. You don't know how to use Venmo.
Made my workload much less. But Ernie,
you don't know how to Ernie, do it. And I don't know
does
how
it ever?
It, so
yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Relive the greatest postseason run in Milwaukee Bucks history with the Bucks in 6 podcast. Bucks in 6 presents a special series commemorating the Bucks title run in 2021. From the thrilling 7-game series against the Nets to the 50-piece from Giannis in the finals, immerse yourself in the sounds of each playoff round. Bucks and Six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now on bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Big congratulations to Jordan Love, who didn't get a ring but gave a ring over the weekend. Proposing to his longtime girlfriend, Ronica Stone. They are engaged. Pictures are beautiful, by the way. If you haven't gotten a chance to see them, they're all over social media. People have been co-opting them as well, which I actually have an issue with. And I don't want to get into that because that's not where I want to go here. But like, I don't love the idea that when you post something, and this would never happen to me, but somebody famous, and then people screen grab it or, you know, take it, and then they post it on their own social channels to get the engagement from it. I don't know.
Yes, there are a few people who do that every time.
Doesn't matter. I just wanted to put that out there. But it was in front of like a 13th century castle. Stunning. Yeah. Uh-huh. Pictures are gorgeous. And then what you noticed, Joshy, was how underneath the post, which they collabed on, right? That's a thing you can do on social media. You can collab on a post shoe. I know I'm speaking an entirely different language here as I talk about technology and social media, and you have absolutely checked out. But basically, Jordan and his now fiance could both post, and the same post would go from each of their accounts. And then there are a lot of comments underneath, a lot of the congratulatory sort, as you would imagine, people who are happy for Jordan Love and Ronica. And Joshy, you noticed that a lot of the comments were from who?
It seemingly every member of the Green Bay Packers has taken to the Instagram comments to wish them some sort of congratulations. I see here Tucker Kraft, Jaden Reed, Alex Magoo, Grant DuBose, Keyshawn Nixon, Dontavian Wicks, Carrington Valentine, Eric Stokes, Christian Watson, Sean Clifford, to name a few of the many, many Packers who took part in not only liking, but then issuing a comment of congratulations to the couple.
Is that mandatory?
Josh, well, I was going to ask you this because I'm from this side of the camp. Joshy.
Yeah.
When or if you get engaged, will you post it on social media?
No, most likely not.
That's why I'm from the camp. This is a little bit of look at me.
Hold on, I had to swallow my tea. You may not, but is Mussolini?
Yes. Oh, for sure.
Well, there you go. So yeah. Now it's out there.
Yeah. I mean, I try and keep the actual private things and personal things to myself. I'll definitely would share it on the show and here when it's under. But yeah, I'd have no real interest in posting about it. I'm sure Mussolini in that situation would. But to get to Jen's question, it almost feels like, because when you go through the comments and see the amount of them, now Jordan's probably not going to even notice some of his teammates commenting on this, because who knows if he follows each and every one of them. There's how many people on an NFL roster, especially when it's just in camp.
I bet you he follows all of them.
I want to ask you guys this, because you're saying Jordan Love wouldn't look at these. Would a previous quarterback, if he got engaged, look at all of these and be bent out of shape if said player, another player, didn't comment?
He'd have a flow chart of who liked, who commented, and then who reached out via text message.
So that's what I want to get to the next thing, too, is because it feels like if somebody is close enough to you, you shouldn't have to do the performative social media congratulations if you have, in fact, reached out personally to congratulate. But what we were discussing earlier is there feels like an obligation. It feels like it is mandatory to not only have the private conversation with your pal, have the private congratulations with your friend, but also make sure that the world also sees that you have congratulated your friend. Because in this day and age, Chu, of players divorcing their teams on social media and unfollowing accounts on social media and people paying attention to those sort of things, it feels like there is a level of obligation now to make sure that the world sees you're on good terms with whoever.
Yeah, I think
this is why I was a little surprised that Jordan Love did this, because till now I saw him as kind of a private guy, and I thought he would keep this to himself and let his girlfriend be the one that posted it. But I'm starting to see a little bit of a change where I thought he was uber private, but he's sending pictures from Florence and stuff.
I think their relationship is more public than I think you would know, just because of the social media aspect. His fiance, Ronica Stone, posts some pretty funny videos of Jordan, to be quite honest. So I think it's just kind of to be expected, especially this generation of, or his generation of athlete. It feels like the reason you post the comment is so nobody like us can look at it and go, well, where's Dontayvion Wicks on this? Or where's so-and-so? It feels like you're doing it not for Jordan or for Ronica. You're doing it for everyone else to make sure you appear as part of the camp, towing the same line, pulling the rope in the same direction.
Yeah, I don't want to be so skeptical to sit here and be like, oh, Jordan Love is changing. He's now posting about his personal life. I also think getting engaged is a big freaking deal.
It's about the biggest.
And I think that he should be able to post on it and celebrate it. Ronica also, Chu, in case you weren't aware, she's a professional volleyball player as well. So she played volleyball in college. I believe that they met through their college, I think. Maybe it was before. I'm not sure. But so she has her own pretty substantial following. Mm-hmm. Now, is some of that because she's Jordan Love's girlfriend, now fiance? Yes. But she also has her own independent fan base as well. She's a public figure in her own right in the athletic space. So there's probably people who are following her for that side of her as well, sort of a complete person type of thing. I just wonder, again, from an everyman standpoint, what the obligation is. If we were to find out that Gabe got engaged, which, by the way, we didn't when it happened. He did not share that with us when it occurred until several days later. I believe it was a week, actually. What's the obligation to post on social media versus reach out to him independently? And if you only reach out to him independently, private talk and text line, if you will, are there people who'd be like, oh, did you notice? Jen did not congratulate Gabe on his engagement on Instagram. Because I do feel, and I have said this in other areas as well, when it comes to platforms, position, social campaigns, if you will, things you believe in, things you support. There are people who say, like, silence is complicity, right? Is that the phrase? How do you know what I'm doing off of social media? All you see is social media and use that as the barometer for my engagement, or the barometer for my concern, or the barometer for my support. There are other ways to show support. There are other ways to defend and back and all that sort of thing. And so I'm seeing a little bit of a cross-reference here between the people who do those types of things. Well, I didn't see you do anything on social media. And the people who might criticize if guys didn't congratulate Jordan Love and company on the engagement this weekend.
To me, it's
so the only thing I can speak to as of this is because I don't have social media. I would treat it like a group text, not our group text, because that's considered work. But group text, I give it a thumbs up with the hope that it just goes away. I'm serious.
You know, most I get a group text and I'm like, as you're on board or you approve, and you're just saying, saw it.
Yeah. We'll get into the thumbs up thing, because I find those often dismissive, unless it's being asked for a specific task. I view it the way Chewy is treating it, so that I don't think my beliefs are unfounded. What I do find interesting is it's very of the times, the having to make public comment, be it shown. If you follow sports writers, sports commentators, any of that, one of them loses or get a job, you'll see every single person commenting on it. Same thing with athletes passing away. Everybody feels a necessity to say, man, I'm so sad about this, regardless of how connected they are to athlete or person.
You feel like you saw that with the Willie Mays thing last
week? Yes. I think Willie Mays does surpass, though, to a level, because he is like all-time athlete ever. So like your connection to him can be, but sometimes it's like actors, it's like, this guy has, like, what connection? You watched him in a movie. I don't, and never will, be the one to be like, I have to address this on social media, unless it's like something I'm very, very excited about, or like one of my closest friends, I'll add to it. I don't feel the need to comment or let it be known publicly. If the person matters to me, I'm going to comment to them specifically. I'm going to text them. I may even call them if it's that big of an event. Like, to me, I don't have to prove to everyone else out there how much someone matters to me. And if people comment on it, I frankly don't care. It's none of your business.
Do you think, do you think people have scrolled through, though, to see who?
Oh, 100%.
So you think there are people? So
yeah,
again, basically we're proving their point.
Mm-hmm.
Even by us discussing it right now, we are proving the point of people pay too much attention to these types of things. In fact, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, in the last week or so, 2 weeks, X, the platform X, got rid of public likes because apparently people were scrolling through people's profiles, seeing what they liked, you know, the little heart, to determine their political preferences or their allegiances and things like that. So they said, you know what? That should be private. You should be able to like something without judgment of the like.
I also think that's just a way to fawn likes and hide it. But your point stands.
How many social... how many social media platforms are you on? And are you on those just because of your job? Because I would say out of everyone on the show, you're closest to me.
Yeah, I have Twitter.
I'm saying closest.
I have Twitter and that's,
and that's it.
Did you think that we thought friends? No, we didn't think that you and Josh, you're closest.
I actually
but no Facebook?
No.
No Facebook?
No Instagram, none of that.
What else is there?
I mean, you
Jen, I get it because you have to because
so
of
many.
Your... mothership job,
but again,
but the only thing I have is the only thing I have is LinkedIn, and I only have that because it's because of my wife Angie. That's the only reason, for negotiating purposes. But people reach out to me, I'm like, I don't know, don't reach out to me. I don't even want this thing. The only reason I have it is because my wife uses it for negotiating purposes, if you get my drift.
Yeah, we got you, bud.
What is negotiating purposes? You know what? I don't. We don't have time, and I don't care that much. There, how's that for some candy?
Also, when it comes to the group chat, or even just a text message, unless I'm saying, "Hey, can you do this before X date? I need it for work, or I need it at home. I need your help on this." A thumbs up to me is just like a, hey, I saw it, but I didn't really care about it.
Well, that's because Chewy has trained you well. I want to get to the talking text line because reaction is rolling in. Kevin says, as an athlete, you have to post the thing. Then your teammates have to post their comment because if they don't, it would become a story. Me personally, if I like you enough to wish you a happy birthday or congratulations, I'm going to do it personally and privately. The most disingenuous thing on the internet is the Facebook happy birthday post from the person you talk to twice a year on your birthday and then again on theirs. Yeah.
I do have to say the one thing I've missed since not having Facebook is the constant rolling update. Because there are some people who I've become closer with that I just don't know there. So unless I put it in my personal calendar and like have it rolling every single year, I miss birthdays all the time now.
Is that okay?
I think so because I'm not keeping tabs of who wished me a happy birthday when it happens.
Some people are. Some people definitely
And if you're that person and you get upset at me, then maybe we're not meant to be friends.
I think birthdays are so stupid. I really do. Everyone's got to get born, right? Am I sure? Am I right or wrong?
You're wrong.
Everyone has to have a birthday. It's not like...
You're wrong.
He is right that everyone has to have a birthday.
Exactly. Thank you for parsing that for me, Joshy. You're right. You are technically right about everyone has to have a birthday. You are wrong in your perception of birthdays. I have told you, celebrating getting to another year is a big deal. It's a big deal. When you've made it another year, when you're still here on this earth, Willie Mays, we talked about it, getting into his 90s. It's a big deal. That's a life well lived. You should celebrate every year you are on this planet. You and I are just diabolically opposed on this one.
All right. How many people like their birthday? I hate it. I hate it. Josh?
I'm indifferent. I like it as a good excuse every year to get together with friends, some of them who... You know, life's go different directions, but you're still people you hold close to you. I don't do like the big production. It's like, hey, come over and have some beers with me and hang out.
Yes, and celebrate me.
Yeah.
Which again, saying that sounds egotistical. I honestly don't mean it to. I think celebrating me or celebrating my friends is something I want to do. And so to me, it's no nuisance. It's no inconvenience.
Yeah, and I don't expect any gifts, none of that. I will likely be providing the food and beer for you to drink with me. It's just, I want to hang out with
people. Yeah, but I do that every Thursday. I celebrate the blammer every Thursday because I don't know if he's going to make it here.
So theoretically, you're celebrating birthdays. You're just doing 52 of them a year as opposed to one.
No, Jen.
Yes.
Jen.
Yes.
Jen. It's an excuse for me to have a drink on Thursday.
Exactly.
And be entertained.
We have really family circled our way through this thing, haven't we? And whenever I say family circle, yes. You guys know what I mean. It's the little Billy with the dots, kind of going all over the place. The question we are asking you regarding Jordan Love is, do you have an obligation, a personal obligation, to wish a colleague or a friend happy birthday, congratulations, and do you have to do it publicly? Would it have been okay for any of these people who commented on the social media post to reach out personally and then not post on the Instagram post, or would people have made that an issue? 800-990-3776. There is other Jordan Love stuff we got to get to this morning here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Greg Cassell says Jordan Love is a top quarter? What
top
did he say?
Three or four.
Oh, three or four. Oh, I thought it was three quarters.
No, that was just my word doing translation there.
Jordan Love is a top three or four quarterback in the league in terms of physical talent. What does that mean? That's next.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point.
I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because
you must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. No Gabe today, but he will be back tomorrow. Chewy is in Florida, which again directly goes against what I understood about Chewy's arrangement with Florida, but he's got some broken stuff down in Florida, so he's taking care of it. The old rules of three, we put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Do you believe in the law of threes, the rule of threes, where if one thing happens, then another thing happens, you just assume a third thing is coming down the conveyor belt, coming down the pipeline? Let's get to Jordan Love again. We were just talking about his engagement. Congratulations to him. But if you are tired of there being congratulations and compliments and plaudits thrown towards Jordan Love, I don't know what to tell you. Those are just going to keep coming. The most recent was from Greg Cassell, who was on with Wilde and Tausch on Friday after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, who was also complimenting the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. High praise. But we're trying to figure out exactly what it means in relationship to success in the NFL. So first and foremost, let's take a listen to what Greg Cassell had to say on Wilde and Tausch about Jordan Love's physical traits.
After I watched Jordan Love, not his last year in college, but his next to last year, because his last year they changed coaching staffs. He was clearly an uncomfortable player. But after his second to last year in college, I said that this guy had really high-level traits. And, you know, he got the chance to start last year, and it really started to show up. And like I said, he's a top three or four quarterback in the league just in terms of physical traits.
Chew, your reaction to that assessment of Jordan Love.
Top three? Well, who's more gifted athletically? I would say Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
Would you guys agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll stop you if we disagree. How's that sound?
Okay. I mean, just athletically, because Kyler Murray is more athletic than Jordan Love. Would you guys? I'm not saying he's a better quarterback, but if we're just saying from an athletic standpoint, not statistics and things like that, I would say Kyler Murray is a better athlete than Jordan Love.
Really?
I would say you could say in pure athleticism, but when you're talking about physical traits, you're talking about like
football.
Yeah. Like arm strength, all that. So I think the three that you could say pretty much without a doubt are Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. Those three, I think there's no question. Now, there's guys with faster 40 times. Anthony Richardson is like the most athletic quarterback literally ever, along with Cam Newton. But right now, those are the three you would say pretty much without a shadow of a doubt are the top three in terms of physical traits.
What about C.J. Stroud?
Not as good of an athlete.
You don't think so?
He's pretty good, but not in that same vein.
See, what I don't love about this is the nebulousness, right, of physical traits. Because to Chewy's point, he immediately interpreted it as, well, Kyler Murray, what an athlete. We've seen him. Right, but does that apply to the quarterback position? I think we're trying to narrow it down to the physical traits required to be an NFL quarterback. I think you're right from a physical trait standpoint. Mahomes, Lamar, Josh Allen. But Josh Allen, it hasn't translated into the type of success that we have thought it would lead to. So is this supposed to be, you'd rather have them have the physical traits than not have the physical traits, but there's still no guarantee that physical traits, and that's the compliment that Cassell is giving the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, is going to lead to Super Bowl wins, because for the likes of Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, it has not yet.
But is he trying to say that he's a top five quarterback without saying it? Because he's not.
The way
I'm just blown away that after nine games, they're elevating him so far up the list. And they were a great nine games, don't get me wrong. You know, but there's hitters in baseball that hit 380, and then at the end of the year, they're hitting 280. You know, it's just a sample size. I guess I don't understand what Cosell's trying to say here. Is he just trying to say, based upon combine numbers, he's a top three? Because I don't know if I can agree with that.
What I interpreted this as, and the way I read it, was Jordan Love has the physical tools, arm strength, escapability, athleticism, that if all the other stuff that takes to be a quarterback, the reading defenses, the, you know, knowing your offense, all that type of stuff, that he could be top five. So he's saying, if with what the Packers have right now, they have a quarterback who has the ability to be in the conversation for like the MVP year in and year out, much like those three other guys we mentioned prior to him. What I think is the point here is they have a guy who can do it. Can Jordan be all the other things? Because like if you think about Kirk Cousins, no one would ever say this about him. And he's a pretty good quarterback and gets the most out of his physical abilities, but what limits him is his lack of athleticism in comparison to some of the other better guys.
But have we overrated athleticism? So, like, when you talk about Tom Brady, who is the greatest to have done it, obviously, because he's got the rings to back it up, nobody would ever say Tom Brady is top three or four in the league in physical traits. They just wouldn't. But he figured out a way to not only get his team to the Super Bowl, but win the whole dang thing over and over and over again. So I guess my question to you, Chu, this morning is, how important are physical traits in actuality to winning a Super Bowl?
Well, it certainly helps. I mean, I would call Aaron Rodgers in his heyday a really good athlete.
Oh, yeah.
A great athlete. Would I call him better than Brett? Is he a better athlete than Brett? I mean, Brett was so good at his escape. Yeah, Rodgers was too, his escapability, and had the ability to make plays off of that. Maybe that's a push.
Just imagine how Brett would have been if he was subscribing to like the Brady diet. Right? Like
less cold ones on
instead of the Frankie Winters diet. Yeah, he had been a lot, would have been a hell of a lot better.
The one,
but I mean,
Brett has his arm strength.
Where would you put Caleb Williams on this list? Even though there's nothing on film of him playing in the NFL right now. I thought Cosell was saying from a standpoint of combine. If you look at Caleb Williams' combine numbers, I bet they're better than Jordan's.
So what you're saying is you could find more than four quarterbacks in the league right now who you believe possess better physical traits. Again, that's Cassell's phrase. I'm not exactly sure what it means. We're trying to sort of interpret it and figure it out, than Jordan Love. I mean, people on the talk and text line are also throwing Justin Herbert out there. Were we remiss by not mentioning Justin Herbert as one of the guys with the physical traits Cassell is referring to?
That's the one I'd say is probably four there when he's saying three to four. If you were to not put Jordan Love there, Justin Herbert is among the best athletes. It's just he's so tall, people don't take him as that, but he doesn't run as much. But he is, yes, all those things.
But what's Jordan Love's strong suit? I mean, 40? I mean, he's not uber fast. He's not Michael Vick. Arm strength? I don't even know. I mean, who's considered to have the strongest arm in the NFL right now? Mahomes? I mean, back in the day, that used to be a thing. You'd be like, hey, John Elway's arms, no one's close to it. Brett Favre's arms, nobody close to it. I don't hear that about Jordan.
All right, let me just rattle off some of the other starting quarterbacks in the league and tell me if you think that they even should be considered for top five of physical traits in the NFL. Joe Burrow is one we have not mentioned yet. Should Joe Burrow be in the top five? Is that just because of the injuries?
No, he's not a great athlete.
Deshaun Watson.
Was.
Not anymore?
He's not that old.
No, but he's, I mean, we haven't seen good Deshaun Watson in like 4 or 5 years.
Trevor Lawrence.
No.
No.
We mentioned Justin Herbert. Tua Tagovailoa.
No.
Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I assume that because he's not any past longer. 40.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson.
Was.
Not any longer.
No.
But he was at one point one of the more physical, athletic quarterbacks under center.
Sure.
Will Levis.
No.
Kirk Cousins.
No.
Sample
Kyler
size.
Murray.
No.
Bryce Young.
Yes.
What
about Dak?
Dak
what about
was
Dak?
Next on my list.
I don't think Dak is the same.
Matthew Stafford.
Nope.
Sam Darnold.
Too old.
Nope.
Although J.J. McCarthy
no.
is also on this list as the potential starter with the Vikings. Derek Carr, Daniel Jones, Jalen Hurts, guys.
Yes.
Have we forgotten to mention
we did.
Jalen
That's
Hurts?
That's very obvious.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. So I pulled up Jordan Love's relative athletic score. As we know, you take height and weight, compare it to other guys at the same position. Jordan scored an 8.45. He has good in terms of speed. He ran a 4.74. His explosion was elite, which is pretty important in football. And
yes.
the where he scored poorly was the agility drills. His shuttle and three cone were either poor to just average.
All right, let me throw one more name out there, guys, as we have to wrap up this conversation. Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Again, when Cassell was talking about it, he was talking about what he saw from Jordan Love in college. He threw out that one year when they were in a transition phase as they were getting used to a new coach and a new scheme. But everything we saw from Jaden Daniels is that he's a freak. So Jaden Daniels probably should get some consideration for having the physical traits, quote unquote, of being a top, I don't know, what, top six, top seven in the league?
Yeah.
And again, depending on what he does now in the NFL, you certainly could make a case that he has better physical traits than Jordan. But again, I expect Jordan to continue evolving. I expect him to take another step in his development this year, just because that's sort of how things go. I know there are people out there that believe in the sophomore slump. I know there are a lot of people that jump into our mentions every time we talk about this, saying he's going to regress this season. I think he's going to take another step. So again, 800-990-3776. Do you agree with Greg Cassell, who says Jordan Love is top three or four quarterbacks in the league in terms of physical talent? Let us know. We'll put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Want to tell you guys about my friends over at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Mark your calendar for Saturday, June 29th. It is the first ever bougie brunch inside the dark room at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Grab a friend and experience an extravagant 5-course brunch menu prepared by the hotel's executive chef. Along with bottomless mimosas, the exclusive bougie brunch experience will be held in the hotel's secret dining space known as the dark room. And if you haven't gotten to experience the dark room yet, it is fantastic, luxurious, and very enjoyable. Reservations are required. Seats are limited. So get to stkatearts.com where you can go ahead and reserve your spot for St. Kate's very first bougie brunch on June 29th.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things because it exceeds, it's like, I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
my apple.
Can
we just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN.
To say, put the past away. Wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend.
Are you ready to upgrade the concrete surfaces in your home? Let me tell you about Showtime Floors and Floor Shield. It's used by military bases, airports, businesses, and, of course, residential homes. It's designed to beautify and protect your concrete surfaces. And look, we had Floor Shield put into our garage last week before. What a game changer. First of all, I had no idea what crappy condition my garage was in. Just think it's a garage. You know, you roll in, you roll out, you put some toys in the corner, and you call it a day. But once they swept the whole thing, repaired all the cracks, repaired all the uneven surfaces, and put the Floor Shield in, I don't know how I was dealing without it. You should check out their website. It's Floor Shield at it's ShowtimeFloors.com for Floor Shield. If you mention ESPN for free crack repair, they'll also give you 10% off. You also get a 15-year warranty against wear. When I say game changer, I'm not exaggerating. Floor Shield in our garage from Showtime Floors has made a huge difference in our space. And they can do the same for you. ShowtimeFloors.com, ShowtimeFloors.com. We got to take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but we roll on right after this.